You're listening to Eureka on Monocle Radio, brought to you by the team behind The Entrepreneurs, the show all about inspiring people, innovative companies, and fresh ideas in global business. I'm Tom Edwards. On today's program, we're shooting for the moon, literally. Chris Stott is the founder, chair, and CEO of Lone Star, a groundbreaking initiative working to establish commercial data centers on the moon to store and safeguard information for future generations. The aim is to protect critical knowledge from cyber threats, natural disasters, and other risks that could compromise data integrity on Earth, so we never experience a big data loss. Think the modern digital equivalent of the burning of the Library of Alexandria. So, how do you leverage lunar resources to create secure and resilient data storage solutions? And how does modern edge processing for disaster recovery as a service actually work? Well, here is Chris with more on how his lunar adventure began.
My name is Chris Stott, and I'm the founder, chair, and CEO of Lone Star Data Holdings, or just Lone Star. We are putting data centers up on the moon to save all of Earth's data, basically using the moon like a huge smart device to protect and store all of Earth's data, but in a living, breathing way, like making a digital twin of the entire planet and using the moon, Earth's largest satellite, to store everything. Think of it like the best external hard drive or time machine backup, if you have a Mac, that you've ever seen. So we were approached by a group of incredible people back in 2018, a few months after the cyber weapon NotPetya got loose in the early stages of the then Russian-Ukrainian conflict. It was a weapon of mass destruction, a cyber weapon that got loose all over the world amongst our connected networks. And this set of customers were sincerely worried. They were saying, look, we need somewhere to store our data safely, securely, accessibly. We need to be able to go see it and do things. Under all of these then new data sovereignty laws, data localization, residency laws, we have more of those today. And they said, please help us find a solution. So we did. We took what they needed, we took their requirements, and we looked everywhere. We looked underwater, jungles, deserts, underneath mountains, on top of mountains. And two things happened. The more we looked at the problem with the customers, the more it really shook us to our core. Because it's one thing when a customer comes to you and says, I have a problem, help me. That's Adam Smith's invisible hand of the market, right? That is customer demand, demand pull versus technology push, as we say in the space industry. And we were incredibly happy to do that. But the more we looked ourselves, the more frightening this thing became. Because here we are on planet Earth, where we all live, and our technological civilization is giving us an incredible life at the moment compared to anyone else in human history. You know, we can feed ourselves, teach ourselves, heal ourselves, all because of the data. And the more we looked at the problem they were trying to solve, it became a passionate mission for us as well to help them solve that, because we realized in so doing, it helps protect all of our civilization down here on Earth. Every day, we create 2.5 quintillion bytes of new data, more than yesterday. That's an exabyte, 1,000 petabytes. That's 1 million MacBook Pros every 24 hours get filled with data. And then that clock goes 1 second past midnight and it's unleashed the boxes. Another million MacBook Pros need to get filled up. And that data rate's doubling every 2 years. And so here we are on the planet. We're seeing edge of network data centers. We're seeing our digital economies grow. You look at the data center technology and what is it really doing? The cloud, as you know, is not a cloud. It's these incredible buildings and structures that we have around the planet full of electronics. And they need power to cool them, take the heat out. And they need power to run them and communicate with them. And there's an incredible group of people who do this around the world. It is the actual foundation of our entire technological civilization. We're not there to disrupt. We're there to complement everything that's happening in the world. Please, everyone, back up your data always and often. Don't forget, we had a data loss in human history so bad, we still talk about it 2,000 years later. The libraries of Alexandria. Burnt by Julius Caesar's troops in the Roman Civil War. You know, you can see that happening today, and it has almost happened today Actually, it almost happens. That was one of the frightening things that we learned when we were doing this on a daily basis. But there we are on the moon. And there we have 60 years of space technology. And today we talk about Starlink, which is an incredible thing. That's a distributed data center in low Earth orbit. 40 Linux servers on board every satellite. We have massive geostationary satellite. And these things are just massive computers in the sky. So we've gotten really, really good at running electronics in space, where you've got a tough radiation environment, but also where you're solar powered at all times and naturally cooled. So when we took data centers to the moon, we really just took space technology and added modern storage and modern processing. We just did our first ever mission to the moon this last February. So there we are on the lunar surface. We transmitted documents en route to the moon and we tested digital storage. Actually, the state of Florida was our first customer there. And there we go on the surface of the moon and we did everything again. Put a virtual software-defined data center on the moon for this first mission. And the second mission we have coming up later this year is the first physical hardware data center going to the moon. So that first data center, that first physical data center off planet is headed up in the third quarter this year. But we're doing something different, something that's never, ever been done in space before. Because this is the first data center off planet. And we passionately believe that the functionality of that data center should also have a beautiful form. And it should be something inspiring that we want to involve design and beauty into the actual data center. So we went and said, okay, here's our data center. Normally in space, you fly a box of electronics. And we said, it can't just be a box because we want this to inspire every man, woman, and child, and probably soon every machine in the world to look at data centers differently, to start thinking about our data differently and how important it is to us all. And so we went to Bjarke Ingels, our friend and colleague over at BIG, Bjarke Ingels Group, fantastic architectural group. And Martin Volk led a team there with Bjarke, and they designed something astoundingly beautiful for us to send to space. They designed something that we could 3D print. Because normally, you know, when you go to space, there's no atmosphere, so you don't need anything aerodynamic, and it's very functional. And so that's when you see satellites, they're boxes, because that's what they need to be. But this time around, we said, let's 3D print something, let's make it gorgeous. Because this is an expression of humanity, of us all. This is us doing something, well, we're evolved tool using apes. And for the first time in our history, we're saying, hang on, no more libraries of Alexandria. Let's take a functional step forward and actually be grown up about this. So how do you represent that? So Bjarke and his team, led by Martin Volk, they designed basically a sundial. Bjarke and his team, they're building the vision of the future I want to live in. So what he's done is they've designed something that reflects man and woman in humanity. For the next 1,000 years, when the sunlight hits this data center, it will reflect a face in shadow and silhouette of a man. And that is for Apollo, for all of the history that took us to the moon over the last 60 years. And in the afternoon, it reflects a woman's face for Artemis, the sister of Apollo, man and woman, Apollo and Artemis. And it's the Artemis missions that are taking us back to the moon, humanity's next steps, which are forever steps on the moon. This is about energy and resource, and everything we do in space, never forget, is to benefit life down here.
That was Chris Stott, the founder, chair, and CEO of Lone Star. And you can learn more about the brand and its projects by heading to lonestarlunar.com. And that's all for this episode of Eureka. We'll be back at the same time next week. Do look out for The Entrepreneurs, which is available every Wednesday. Eureka was produced by Laura Kramer, with mixing and editing by Jack Dewars. You can listen again and find out more about the show at the website monocle.com. That's where you can join the club and subscribe to the magazine to read more about better businesses every month. To contact The Entrepreneurs team, email Laura on lrk@monocle.com. I'm Tom Edwards, goodbye, and thanks for listening to Eureka.